Chapter 45. I don't understand, I whispered, moving once more and then stopping a few feet from Sir Holland.
You know him?
Nyctos had shifted closer as he stared down at the man before us.
She does,
Sir Holland confirmed, his dark eyes searching mine.
I've known her for most of her life.
He trained me, I whispered. I wanted to touch him to see if he was real, to hug him, but I couldn't move. It's Sir Holland. I don't understand how this is possible.
You can just call me Holland, he told me. That's my name.
But you're... Why are you here? Confusion pounded through me as Penelope glided past him, entering the airy chamber. Are you a victor?
No, that honor is not mine, he said. He's here because he's a spirit of fate,
Nyctos stated coldly.
He's an Arae, one who's apparently been masquerading as a mortal.
He eyed Holland.
Now I understand how you had knowledge of a certain potion.
He's not a spirit. To confirm this mostly for myself, I reached out and pressed a finger against the rich brown skin of his arm.
Spirits of fate, the Arae, are like gods.
Nyctos reached over, pulling my hand away from Holland.
They are not like the spirits near your lake.
Holland's gaze followed Nyctos's hand, one side of his lips curving up. Stunned, all I could do was stare. That pragmatic part of my mind kicked in. Out of everyone, Holland had always believed... He had always believed in me. His unwavering faith now made sense. It was still a shock, but after learning the truth about Colas, I knew I could process this. I could understand, and the knowledge that he was okay helped. Tavius hadn't done something terrible to him. So many questions rose. Mainly, I wanted to ask if he'd always known that I could never fulfill my duty. But I recognized that now was so not the time for that.
So, you weren't sent to the Vodina Isles? I was, but I didn't go,
he answered. I knew my time in the mortal realm had come to an end.
I came here to wait.
Because you knew we... We would come to speak to you. He nodded. That was, well, unnerving. How much did Holland know? More than I probably wanted him to. I swallowed. A thought occurred to me. Is this why you never seemed to age?
It wasn't the liquor, he said.
No shit, I murmured. Penelope laughed as she came to stand beside Holland, the gown settling around her feet in a puddle of silk. Is that what he said? I nodded, staring at the man I'd considered the closest thing to a friend, a man I'd trusted, someone who wasn't mortal. I didn't know yet if I should feel betrayed or not. There has been a lot I haven't understood, but this I really don't get.
I think I might know,
Nyctos said, drawing my gaze. He was watching Holland as if he were a few minutes away from pitching him through the open ceiling.
The nursemaid spoke the truth. The Arae had been present upon her birth, and you, being one of the Arae, learned of the deal somehow and took the place of the one who was supposed to train her. He paused. To kill me. To kill. Holland corrected. Did it not occur to you to inform her of the pointlessness behind that endeavor?
Nyctos demanded, and I was glad he'd brought it up.
I couldn't. All I could do was train her.
I should thank you for that part,
Nyctos replied, and I could already tell that wouldn't happen.
But you're Arae. You're not allowed to intervene in fate.
He didn't. The goddess smiled, and Nyctos shot her an incredulous look.
Not technically, she amended. I never directly interfered,
Sir Holland said,
and I really needed to stop thinking of him as a knight when he was basically a god. That's why I couldn't tell you who I was, or that the rot wasn't tied to the deal. If I did, then it would have been considered interference. I was pushing it when I gave you the tea. You were pushing it by even being around her, so it sounds like an awful lot of semantics.
Nyctos folded his arms over his chest.
Does Embrus know about this, of your involvement?
My heart skipped. That was why Nyctos didn't sound exactly thrilled by this reveal. If Embrus knew, the primal could tell Colas about me.
If I had truly intervened, he would have known. But he's currently unaware of the deal and who the source of power is.
Wait, how is that possible? I asked, realizing something I hadn't before. If the Array answer to his court, how could he not know about the deal?
About everything? Because the Array don't answer to Embrus, they just live there,
Nyctos explained, angling his body so that the side of his hips brushed my arm.
Fate answers to no primal.
Unless we overstep, Holland tacked on, by directly interfering. I had to agree with Nyctos that it sounded like semantics, but I had more pressing questions. Why did you even get involved? You were with me for so long. The number of years. Did he not have a family, friends, those he missed? Or had he gone back and forth? It was a long time, Penelope spoke up. Those years were a very long time.
I did it because I knew I needed to. It wasn't easy being gone for so long and so often. But this was bigger than me. Bigger than all of us.
Holland leaned against a pillar and lifted his gaze to Nyctos.
I did it because I knew your father. I knew him when he was the true primal of life. I considered him a friend.
I glanced up at Nyctos, but nothing could be gained from his expression.
Did you know what was to become of him?
He asked. Holland shook his head.
No. The Array cannot see the fate of a risen primal.
Grief crept into his voice.
If I could have, I don't know if I would still be sitting here today. I don't think I could have sat by and done nothing.
My brows knitted together. You would have intervened? What is the punishment for that?
Death, Nyctos answered. The final kind.
I shuddered as my gaze swung back to him. Fear rose. Is it okay that you're here? I felt the brush of Nyctos' fingers against mine. The touch surprised me, but the soft hum of contact was calming. Should you leave? The Array can do nothing to intervene in your fate, Penelope advised. Not anymore. Her words, they felt like an omen, leaving me chilled.
Then you know why we summoned you. Can you tell us why my father did this?
Nyctos asked. Why he would put such power into a mortal bloodline, what he hoped to accomplish from that?
The better question is what your father did exactly,
Holland countered.
As you know, your father was the true primal of life. Colas couldn't take everything. That would be impossible. Embers of life still remained in Ethos, just as embers of death remained in Colas. And when you were conceived, part of that ember passed on to you, just a flicker of the power, not as strong as the ember that remained in your father, but enough.
Nyctos shook his head.
No, he said. I never had that ability. I have always been this. You wouldn't have known it if you had that ember until you went through the culling. But your father took that ember from you before Colas could learn that you had it in you,
Holland explained.
Ethos knew that Colas would have seen you as even more of a threat, one that his brother would have extinguished.
Nyctos's eyes began to churn slowly.
My father.
He cleared his throat, but his voice was still hoarse.
He took it from me to keep me safe?
My heart squeezed as Holland nodded.
He took that ember along with what remained in him and put it in the Mirel bloodline.
Dark eyes focused on me.
That is what is in you. What remained of Ethos's power and what had passed on to Nyctos.
I opened my mouth, but I was at a loss for words. Nyctos's equally shocked gaze met mine. I have a part of him in me? And his father?
You have the essence of his power, Penelope said, and my head swung back to her.
That sounds really weird and uncomfortable, I said. Penelope glanced away, her lips twitching before her gaze met mine. That does not mean you have a part of Nyctos or his father in you, or that it would somehow make you some sort of a descendant, she confirmed.
And thank the gods for that, because I was about a second away from vomiting a little in my mouth.
You just have the essences of their powers. It's like, how do I explain this? Her brow wrinkled as she glanced at Holland. It's like when a god ascends a godling. The godling shares their blood, but they are not related to that god or any of that god's bloodline. The only thing that could happen is the essence could recognize its source.
What does that mean? I asked.
This would be even harder to explain, but I imagine it's a lot like two souls meant to be one, each finding the other. She was looking at Holland again, and my heart gave another leap. Both of you may have felt more comfortable around each other than you would others. The breath I took was thin as I leaned back against the dais. There was no denying that I had felt far more comfortable around Nyctos than I did anyone else, that I never really feared him. I felt this warmth in me when I first saw you, a rightness. I twisted toward Nyctos. Not the night in the Shadow Temple, but in the Lux. I never said anything because I wasn't even sure what I was feeling, and it sounded silly. But the night in the Lux, I had a hard time walking away from you. It felt wrong. I didn't understand it. I turned back to Holland and Penelope. Could that be why?
And here I thought it was my charming disposition, Nyctos muttered under his breath. I shot him an arch look. I felt something similar, a warmth, a rightness. I didn't know what it meant.
My eyes widened. You did? He nodded. As I said, it would be like two souls shaped for one another, coming together, Penelope said. Two souls coming together? Was that why I interested Nyctos so much, despite his intentions to never fulfill the deal? Why he was able to find peace in my presence? Could it also explain why I had been drawn to him, even when I believed I had to end him? For me? Maybe in the beginning, but now? I didn't think so. It was him, who he was, his strength and intelligence, his kindness despite all that he'd seen and surely suffered, his loyalty to his people, those he cared for. It was how ending a life still affected him. It was how he made me feel, that for the briefest moments I wasn't a monster, that I was someone. Me, not whatever I'd been shaped into. But for Nyctos, it really didn't matter. He knew what I'd planned. Whatever had guided his interest was irrelevant.
And you don't know why my father did this, what he thought it could achieve.
I had a prophetic vision before your father struck this deal with a mortal king, Penelope stated, sending a ripple of surprise through me. It had never happened before, so I didn't understand what I saw. I didn't understand the words in my mind, but I knew they carried a purpose, that they were important, especially when I told Embris, and he took me to Delos. She swallowed quickly. Colas questioned me quite extensively. I tensed, having a feeling her questioning was more like an interrogation, a painful one. It was as if Colas believed he could somehow force an understanding out of me, a clarification. She shook her head, as if I were hiding knowledge from him, but I couldn't make sense of what I saw or heard.
That's not how they work, visions and prophecies. They are rare, and the receivers of them are only messengers, not scribes.
Holland reached over, taking her hand in his. He squeezed, and I couldn't help but wonder if there was something between them.
I'd never known him to be with anyone, but obviously there was a lot I hadn't known.
Colas eventually gave up. Some of the shadows cleared from Penelope's eyes as she smiled at him. Afterwards, I went to Mount Lotho. I figured if anyone could make any sense of it, it would be the Array.
We weren't much help at first. We hate prophecies.
Holland laughed dryly.
It wasn't until Ethos came to ask what, if anything, could be done about his brother that I recalled the prophecy and Colas's interest in it. We shared it with him, and Ethos seemed to have some sort of understanding. What was it? This prophecy?
Nyctos asked.
Can you tell us?
What I saw was just disjointed images, people ruling in the mortal realm that didn't appear mortal, places I don't think yet exist.
Like what?
Like cities forever laid to waste, kingdoms shattered and rebuilt, great and terrible wars. Wars between kings and between queens. Her brows pinched. A forest made of trees the color of blood. Nyctos frowned.
The redwoods.
She nodded, but in the mortal realm and full of death, steeped in the sins and secrets of hundreds and hundreds of years. Well, I said, exhaling slowly, none of that sounds good. But I also saw her. I saw them. A chosen and a descendant of the first. The ether burned brightly in Penelope's eyes as they met mine. A queen of flesh and fire. And him, a king risen from blood and ash, who ruled side by side with man. And they felt right. They felt like hope. I really had no idea who they were or what that meant, but I would have to take her word for it. Did you see anything else? Nothing that I can understand enough to tell, but I remember the words. I'll never forget them.
She looked down as Holland squeezed her hand once more and then let go. She cleared her throat.
From the desperation of golden crowns and born of mortal flesh, a great primal power rises as the heir to the lands and seas, to the skies and all the realms. A shadow in the ember, a light in the flame, to become a fire in the flesh. When the stars fall from the night, the great mountains crumble into the seas, and old bones raise their swords beside the gods. The false one will be stripped from glory, until two, born of the same misdeeds, born of the same great and primal power in the mortal realm. A first daughter, with blood full of fire, fated for the once promised king. And the second daughter, with blood full of ash and ice, the other half of the future king. Together, they will remake the realms as they usher in the end. She paused, looking up with eyes as bright as polished sapphires. And so it will begin with the last chosen blood spilled. The great conspirator birthed from the flesh and fire of the primals will awaken as the harbinger and the bringer of death and destruction to the lands gifted by the gods. Beware, for the end will come from the west to destroy the east and lay waste to all which lies between. She exhaled unsteadily. That's it. I started to speak, and then stopped, glancing up at Nyctos. There was a thoughtful pinch to the set of his lips, and a whole lot of what the hell to the arch of his brow.
That sounds...
Nyctos blinked slowly. That sounded intense. Penelope laughed lightly. Isn't it, though? Nyctos nodded slowly.
I think it's safe to assume that the latter part is referencing my uncle. He is the great conspirator, the rightful bringer of death. He, along with my father, were born in the West.
Nyctos looked down at me.
They were born in the mortal realm, roughly where present-day Carcedonia stands.
And the last part of the prophecy means that he will destroy all the lands from west to east, including the mortal realm? I wiped my hands down my thighs.
Depends on how one defines chosen,
Holland said.
It could be speaking of those chosen to serve the gods, or those like you, chosen for a different purpose. And the birthed from the flesh and fire of the primals could mean a rebirth of sorts,
Nyctos said.
Not an actual birth.
Okay, I get that. But how can that be referencing Kolas? I asked. How can he be awakened when he's already... I trailed off.
Unless he goes to sleep,
Nyctos murmured, looking over at Holland and the goddess.
That will never happen.
Holland's head inclined.
Prophecies. They are only a possibility. So many things can change them, and from what I understand, not every word is to be taken literally. The problem is we do not often know which words should be.
I snorted at that. The first part, the desperation of golden crowns. Could that be referencing Roderick Mirel? He was desperate, if not yet a king at the time the deal was made.
I believe so,
Holland confirmed. Ethos made the deal with Roderick shortly after he learned of the prophecy. But again, so many things can change a prophecy.
That can change the meaning and the intention behind every single word. Well, that's great,
Nyctos muttered, and I almost laughed. Holland's smile was sympathetic.
There is never just one string that charts the course of a life, or how that life will impact the realms.
Holland opened his hand, spreading his fingers wide. I gasped as numerous strands appeared, no thicker than a thread, and shimmering a bright blue.
There are dozens for most lives. Some even have hundreds of possible outcomes. You...
His gaze lifted to me, and I swallowed.
You have had many strings, many different paths, but they all ended the same.
A chill skated down my spine. How?
Sometimes it's better not to know,
he answered. Penelope drifted closer.
But sometimes knowledge is power. I nodded. I want to know.
A brief, fond smile appeared, and then Holland said,
Your paths have always ended in your death, before you even saw 21 years of life.
I went numb. Before age 21, that was... Gods, that was soon. Nikto stepped forward, partly blocking me.
That's not going to happen. You may be a primal.
Holland's attention shifted to him.
But you are not a fate. Fate can go fuck itself.
Nikto growled. His skin had thinned, revealing the swirling shadows underneath.
If only...
Holland's smile was faint, clearly unbothered by the storm brewing within Nyctos.
Death always finds you, one way or another.
His focus had returned to me,
by the hands of a god or a misformed mortal, by Kolas himself, and even by death.
I stilled, my heart lurching.
What?
Nyctos snarled.
There are many different threads, Penelope said softly, looking up at Nyctos.
A great sadness had settled into her features.
Many different ways her death could come at your hands. But this one,
she lifted a finger, nearly touching one of the shimmering strands, a thread that appeared to have broken off into another, shorter thread.
This was not intentional.
What are you talking about?
Nyctos demanded. She has your blood in her, doesn't she? She asked. Nyctos went so still. I wasn't sure he even breathed. My gaze darted between them.
I don't have his blood. He hasn't...
I sucked in a breath. The night Nyctos had fed from me, I'd bitten his thumb and drew blood. I'd tasted it. I saw the moment Nyctos remembered. I twisted toward Holland.
It was just a drop. Barely even that.
But it was enough,
Holland stated.
The ember of life in you is strong enough to cause you to have the symptoms of the culling. But it wasn't strong enough to push you into the change. The symptoms would have eased off. But not now. Not with the blood of a powerful primal in you. You will go into the culling.
No!
Nyctos shook his head, twists of ether swirling in his eyes.
She can't. She's not a godling. She's mortal.
Mostly, Penelope whispered. Her body is mortal, as is her mind.
She looked at me, her eyes glistening.
But what has always been inside you is primal. It doesn't matter that both of your parents were mortal. You were born with an ember of not one, but two primals inside you. That's what will attempt to come out.
That can't happen.
Nyctos thrust a hand through his hair, dragging the strands back from his face.
There has to be a way to stop it.
There isn't.
I gripped my knees as I looked between Holland and the goddess.
Is there? No special potion or deal to be made?
Holland shook his head.
No. There are some things that not even the primals can grant. This is one of them.
She won't...
Nyctos cut himself off as he turned to me.
I'd never seen him so pale, so horrified.
This isn't your fault. I stood, surprised that my legs weren't shaking.
I did it. You didn't. And it's not like you had any way of knowing that would happen.
So reckless. So impulsive,
Holland murmured. A laugh choked me. Yeah, well, you've always known that was my greatest flaw.
Or greatest strength,
Holland countered.
Your actions could have given whatever it was Ethos believed upon hearing the prophecy a chance to come to fruition.
Both Nyctos and I stared at him.
What?
Look closer at this thread. Penelope lifted a finger once more to the string that had broken off. Look. Nyctos's head lowered as he stared. At first I saw nothing, but when I squinted, I saw it. The shadow of a thread, barely there and ever changing in length, stretching farther than any of the other threads, and then shrinking to the length of the others. What is that? I asked. It's an unexpected thread, unpredictable. It is the unknown, the unwritten, Penelope explained. It is the one thing that not even the fates can predict or control. The corners of her lips turned up. The only thing that can disrupt fate.
And what is that?
Nyctos asked, his hands closing into fists at his sides.
And how do I find it?
It can't be found, she said. And I was 1 second from screaming my frustration. It can only be accepted.
You're going to need to give us a little more detail,
Nyctos snapped.
It's love, Holland answered. Love is the one thing that not even fate can contend with.
I blinked. That was all I could do. Nyctos appeared to be as dumbstruck as I was, unable to formulate a single response.
Love is more powerful than fate.
Holland lowered his hand, and all but one thread disappeared. Only the broken one, and the shadow of an ever-changing string, remained, glittering in the space between us.
Love is even more powerful than what courses through our veins, equally awe-inspiring and terrifying in its selfishness. It can extend a thread by sheer will, becoming that piece of pure magic that cannot be extinguished by biology, and it can snap a thread unexpectedly and prematurely.
What exactly are you saying? I asked.
Your body cannot withstand the culling, not without the sheer will that is more powerful than fate and even death.
Holland looked to Nyctos.
Not without the love of the one who would aid her ascension.
What Ios had told me about the godlings and the culling resurfaced. You're talking about the blood of a god, saying that I would need the blood of a god who loves me.
I couldn't believe I was even speaking the words.
Not just a god, a primal. And not just any primal. Penelope's blue eyes fixed on Nyctos. The blood of the primal the ember belonged to. That and the pure will of love can unravel fate. Nyctos jerked back another step, the shadows churning around his legs, and I sat down again, or fell down. Luckily, I landed on the edge of the dais. Heart twisting and squeezing, I watched Nyctos's head slowly turn toward me. His eyes were as bright as the moon as he stared down at me, and I didn't need his power to read emotions to know that he was horrified. And I didn't need to be a fate to know that I truly would die. Nyctos could never love me. Even if I hadn't planned to kill him. Nyctos was incapable of love. It was simply not in him. He knew that. I knew that. This isn't fair, I said hoarsely, angry at everything. To do this to him.
To do this to me,
he rasped. As silvery streaks of ether appeared in the shadows, swirling around him.
This isn't fair to you.
It's not fair to either of you, Penelope stated softly. But life, fate, or love rarely is it? I wanted to punch the goddess for telling me what I already knew. But I drew in a deep breath, briefly closing my eyes. There was a lot of information to digest, a lot of knowledge that was ultimately irrelevant and overshadowed by the fact that I would die, sooner rather than later, and painfully, too. Anger sparked in me again, and I latched onto it, holding it close. The burn of that was familiar and felt better than the sorrow and hopelessness.
There is more, Holland stated.
I laughed. It sounded strange. Of course there is.
You have had as many outcomes as you've had lives, he told me.
Many lives? I repeated. Holland nodded, and then the shimmery cords appeared once more. Dozens of them.
What does that mean?
Nyctos' gaze flicked from the strings to Holland.
Her soul has been reborn?
Holland also stared at the strings.
Fate doesn't know all because the actions of one can alter the course of fate, just like she altered the course with a single drop of blood.
He looked up at Nyctos.
Just like your father altered fate, as did the primal Keela, when they stopped a soul from entering the Shadowlands, leaving it to be born over and over.
You're speaking of Sotoria, I said, and he nodded. What does that have to do with this? Holland's gaze shifted to me.
You are a warrior, Seraphina. You always have been, just like she learned to become.
Tiny bumps rose all over my skin. No. He shook his head.
You have had many names.
No, I repeated.
You have lived many lives, he continued. But it is that one, the first one, that Ethos remembered when he answered Roderick Mirel's summons. He always remembered her.
Nyctos had once again gone deathly still.
You're not saying what I think you are. I am. Ethos could be considered impulsive by many, but he was wise,
Holland said, sadness creeping into his eyes.
He knew what would come of Colas's actions. Colas was never meant to be the primal of life. Those powers and gifts could not remain in him. What he did was unnatural. Life cannot exist in that state. Ethos knew they would fade, and they have. That is why no primals have been born, why the lands in the mortal realm are beginning to die, why no gods have risen in power. He knew that Colas's actions would be the end of both realms as we know them.
Your father wanted to keep you safe, Penelope restated. But he wanted to save the realms. He wanted to give the mortals and the gods a chance. He wanted to give you revenge, she said, looking at me. I shuddered. So this is what he did. He hid the ember of life where it could be safe and where it could grow in power until a new primal was ready to be born in the one being that could weaken his brother.
I can't be her.
There's no way. I'm not Sotoria. My words faded as the rest of what she'd said broke through. A new primal was ready to be born.
Born of mortal flesh, a shadow in the ember.
Nyctos repeated slowly, and then his chest rose in a sharp breath.
What Holland said about no gods rising in power is true. That hasn't happened since my father placed the ember in your bloodline. But you did it.
I didn't mean to, I started. I think that's the least of my concerns right now.
You're right.
That is the least of our concerns right now. But it is what that means.
Nyctos turned to the Fate.
Isn't it? It's her.
Holland nodded. All life, in both realms, has only continued to come into creation because the Mirel bloodline carried that ember. Now she carries the only ember of life in both realms. She is why life continues.
Holland's eyes met mine and held.
If you were to die, there would be nothing but death in all the kingdoms and all the realms.
The floor felt as if it were shifting beneath me. That doesn't make sense.
It does.
Slowly, Nyctos turned back. His gaze met mine, and he didn't look away. He didn't blink.
It's you.
A sort of wonder filled his features, widening his eyes and parting his lips.
You are the heir to the lands and seas, skies and realms, a queen instead of a king. You are the primal of life.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of A Shadow in the Ember by Jennifer L. Armentrout, performed by Stina Nielsen. Performance copyright 2021 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc., all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please visit our website at www.brilliancepublishing.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.